It is so good to see you, and we're glad that you've come to fellowship and to worship with us today. If you've got your Bibles with you, or if you do not, the Word of God will be on the screen here in just a second. I'd like you to go with me to the book of John. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 4. And this morning, I want us to read together verses 16 through 30 and verse 39. As promised, as mentioned last week, we're going to be talking about the topic of worship, and our praise time this morning has been centered around talking about, singing about the idea of worship. Now, this might be an interesting set of scriptures that would lead us into this this talk and this message about worship, but I feel it's a message that really gets to the heart, gets to the center of what really is going to prepare us for true worship. This being our first service of 2019, I really want our church to center in and focus this next year on worship, true worship, bringing our hearts, preparing our minds when we come to worship services, and just preparing to have a new year, celebrating in the Lord, celebrating with one another, and how we can best prepare ourselves for that. The book of John, chapter 4, starting at verse 16, if you would please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. In the words of Christ, says it this way. He said, Jesus says unto her, go and call your husband and come here. He said, the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus says to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. He says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, He who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Just then His disciples came back, and they marveled that He had talked with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that ever I did. Can this be the Christ? Verse 39, and they went out of the town, and many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that ever I did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here in Your house today. Lord, we praise You and we thank You that You've given us a place to worship, Lord, and that You've allowed us to come and start our year off right. Lord, what a beautiful day that You provided. We thank You for the sunshine. And Lord, I thank You for all who have come to worship today. Lord, I pray that You bless our services, Lord, and I pray a special prayer that, Lord, if there's anybody here who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, then, Lord, I pray that today they might become a true worshiper by giving their heart and their life to You, by coming and accepting You as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that if there's a Christian here among us who just needs a rededication, a renewal in their walk, in their service to You, Lord, then I pray that Your Holy Spirit will draw them to come. Lord, I just pray that today You'd use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory, Lord, because it's all about You and what You choose to do through me. Lord, I pray that You would but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Lord, I pray that I might decrease, that You might have the increase. Lord, Father, I just pray for the leadership of Your Spirit today. Father, we just ask it all in Your holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. As you are seated, we talk about true worship. Here is a woman, a Samaritan woman. And if you go back and read the beginning of this story in John chapter 4, it's a beautiful story. There's this woman who comes to the well in the hottest portion of the day, the noon hour, and Christ is waiting there while His disciples have gone out to buy meat to have a meal. And Christ is waiting there, and here comes this woman of Samaria, and she brings her clay pot with her to the well in order to draw water. And she's a little bit hesitant, but she comes and Christ engages with her, and He begins to talk about how that He can offer her a water that is like a living water, a water that would allow her to never thirst again. And this conversation engages, and Christ says that I can offer that to you. And then He begins in the verses that we read, and He says, but I want you to call your husband. And they begin to reveal unto her the status of her life and where she's at. How that she's living in adultery with all of the husbands that she's had, and even though she's married now, the man that she's currently with isn't her husband. And Christ points out and brings to the fact that she has this unconfessed sin in her life. And Christ lets her know that He can change her heart and change her life. And we see how in this story that it progresses. And that when the disciples come back, she truly believes in her heart that this is Christ, the Messiah, who can change all things. And she goes back to the place that she is from, and she tells all of the people, and it says that they return believing and wanting to see who is this Christ man whom this woman says has told of her everything that she's ever done. Today we want to talk about how that you can begin a relationship with Christ that's truly centering and focusing on worship. And this next year I want our church to center in and focus on truly worshiping God as the Lord would want us to worship Him. Where does it all begin? I want to tell you the place where it begins. The first place that it's going to begin is when we as a people, when we as a church choose to reject strongholds. Strongholds. I want to tell you, this woman was faced with a lot of strongholds. She was faced with a personal sin in her life that she was dealing with adultery and living with another man whom that she was not married to. She was faced with this stronghold, this idea of what worship was and what worship was not. You see, she asked of Christ, she says, you know, you tell me that we need to worship in Jerusalem. And she had this idea about what worship was, where it took place, what it was all about. And I believe that today, as a people, we have all of these conceptions about what worship service is and what worship service is not. We come with these preconceived notions, I think, a lot of times, that worship should be a place where we come and are entertained. I'm a believer in that. I believe a lot of people think that, and a lot of people feel that way, that is the importance of church, to keep me entertained. I believe and feel that way because I see all of the different mega churches where the focus is about entertaining the people and making people feel good. But I want to tell you that worship doesn't begin with always making people feel good. You see, in this encounter, true worship for this woman began when Christ began to help her tear down the strongholds of her life and reveal unto her where her life was at, the good things, the bad things, the things that she needed to change. And if we're going to be true worshipers of the Lord, we have got to make the decision that we're going to remove the strongholds from our lives. We've got to reject them. We've got to say, no more, I'm not accepting these things. I'm going to remove these things from my life. The people, the places, the things that keep us from being the servant of God that we need to be. I think about Paul in his writing in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 where he explained that our greatest worship, that our greatest service to God was this. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If we're going to be true spiritual worshipers of God, we've got to make this decision that we're going to live our lives as living sacrifices to God. And I want to tell you, it's going to be impossible to live as a living sacrifice from Him unless we're willing to tear down the strongholds that keep us from being that man or that woman of God. This woman had some mighty strongholds that she had to take down. As you probably have noticed, you can call this a sermon illustration. I can't remember what Christy called it. She said object learning. Where I come from, those are big words. So, you call it what you want to call it, but we're going to talk about sin and how that sin impacts our life. You know, nobody says when they're a young person that they want to be a terrible person. Nobody as a young person says, you know, I want to grow up to be a sinner. I want to grow up to be the worst person that I can possibly be. You know, as young people, I think that deep down inside, we want to be good people. We want to please God. We want to be that man and that woman of God. But over time, we find that sin, our nature as sinners, begins to pollute our heart. It begins to pollute our mind. And as it begins to pollute our heart and our mind, it starts in as something small, and then it begins to spread. And as it spreads, you'll notice that as we continue on throughout this message, if you're video recording, you might be video recording for a while. This is a long sermon illustration. You'll notice that that dye begins to take hold, a representation of sin. And it begins to creep into your life, and as it takes over, it spreads throughout. You see, this is a story about a woman where sin had entered into her life, not once, not twice, but we know at least five different times as she goes through all of these varying relationships, and it had consumed her life. So before she could become a true worshiper of the Lord, she had to begin to reject the strongholds. If we're going to be true worshipers of the Lord, we've got to make the decision that you and I, we as a church, we're going to be His living sacrifice. And that means rejecting and tearing down strongholds. The second thing that we've got to do is we've got to recognize the Savior. One of the great things about this story is that as this woman is having this encounter with Christ, she says unto Him, I know that one day the Messiah, the Christ, is coming. And when He comes, He's going to reveal all things. And He says unto her there in verse 26, He says, I am the Christ. He says, the one that you speak of, I am He. I am the Christ. So this year, as we move on as a church, as we continue in our worship, as we continue to grow as a body of believers, we've got to recognize who that Christ is. We've got to recognize Him as the saving grace. Amen? Christ can do great and mighty things. She believed in her heart that one day a Christ was coming and He would reveal all things, that He was going to change the world. Church, we don't have to wait any longer. The Christ has come. He has come and He's given His life. He's given everything so that you and I, if we trust and believe in Him, we might go free. All you and I have to do is recognize. We have to look and see and realize and understand that Christ is who that He says that He is. What does that mean? I want to tell you exactly what it means. There's a lot of people who can say, I know about God. There's a lot of people who grew up in church. A lot of people who grew up in godly homes. A lot of people who have experienced and heard about religion and heard about Christ and heard about the Bible. They've maybe read all the stories. They may have even have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and they can tell you all about it. But they've never recognized. They've never invited Christ into their heart and into their life. They can say, I know all about God, but they can't say, I know God. It's about recognizing the Savior. It's about inviting Him into your heart and your life and being able to say, I know Him. Church, if we want to be able to truly worship, be true worshipers, we've got to be able to say, I know Him. How can we worship if we don't know Him? And that's what Christ pointed out to this woman. He says, you worship something that you don't know. But I am the Christ. Church, all we have to do is recognize, understand, and accept into our heart that He is the Savior. You know, John chapter 3 explains it so poignantly as he says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. The Word of God tells us that He loved us so much that He gave His Son, that if we would accept Him, that He would save us. And not only would He save us, but He would allow us an opportunity that we could worship Him. Worship is a beautiful thing. I have looked so forward to this morning. all week long. I've had this message in heart and mind for a while and been praying about it and praying about the best way that we could start our year off. And I think there's no better way to start our year off than focusing on the idea of worship. Worship is a beautiful thing because God is worthy to be worshiped. God is worthy to be worshiped. He's the creator of all things. He loved us so much, He gave us His Son, that if we believe in Him, we might be saved. Nowhere else in all of humanity do you read a story about a God who loved His creation so much that He gave a part of Himself that if people would believe that they might be saved. God literally giving of Himself that the world might go free. He is the Savior. But we have to recognize that if we want to be true worshipers of His. And this woman recognized. And when the disciples came back, she recognized and believed in her heart enough that it says that she left her clay pot and she went back to tell of others. I have met a man who told me everything that I've ever done. I believe the next thing that we've got to do as true worshipers of His is not just to reject the strongholds, not just recognize Him as Savior, but I believe if we want to be a true worshiper of His, we've got to repent of our sins. I am a firm believer that there's not enough preachers, not enough men and women of God who stand up and proclaim boldly that we need to repent of sin. You see, one of the great strongholds of worship is we come into this place where we hear messages that make us feel good. And I like to feel as good as anybody else. I like to hear a good message. I like to hear the Word of God preached. But I'm going to be honest and frank with you. There are times in my life where I need a message that tells me where I'm really at in my relationship with God. Sometimes I just need a message that helps me see and understand that maybe I need to make some changes, that maybe I need to repent of sin. You see, Christ wanted to help this woman, wanted to help change her life. And the greatest thing that Christ could do for her wasn't just to make her feel warm and fuzzy inside, but it was to help her see and understand that she had sin in her life that she needed to repent of so that she could be a true worshiper of His. You see, beginning a relationship with Christ, becoming a true worshiper, means repenting of sin. I remember growing up in church. I remember having a grandmother who was so wonderful in her belief in the Lord. And I can remember her telling me all the time growing up that the Lord doesn't bless unconfessed sins. You know what? God's Word says that. The Lord's Word says that His ears fall deaf on prayers of iniquity, that He doesn't bless unconfessed sin. I'm a believer with all of my heart that if we're going to be true worshipers of His, we've got to make the decision that we're going to repent of our sin. In preparing for this week's message, I read such a wonderful quote about sin. An author said it this way, "Sin deprives the spirit. It becomes the delight of the heart. It controls the mind. It hinders our walk. And it darkens our soul." I'll read that again. He said, "Sin deprives the spirit. It becomes the delight of our heart. It controls our mind. It hinders our walk. And it darkens our soul." Here in this, we see how that just a few small drops has overtaken everything that was once so beautiful and so pure. You see, sin has a way of making us slaves. That's what sin does. Our sin nature makes us a slave. According to Christ in John chapter 8, verse 34, He said it this way, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." So we find that when sin enters into our life and it takes control, that we become a slave to it. It changes our heart, it changes our mind, and it darkens our soul. As much as we become a slave, we see that we also become condemned. Paul, in his writings, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Sin comes in and it enslaves us, but sin also comes in and it condemns us. Because sin entered into the world by one man, and then all have sinned. And because the wages of sin is death, we're condemned because of our sins. But there's hope. We don't have to be slaves. We don't have to be condemned. We can be saved. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he said it this way. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we invite Christ into our heart, we don't have to be the condemned. We don't have to be slaves anymore. You see, if we invite Christ into our heart, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, that we can have a relationship with Him and have an opportunity to be true worshipers. How do you remove sin? You see, Christ comes in and has the ability to cleanse us. See how it has the ability to change completely. How the sin came in and took over, consumed our lives. And then if we choose to accept Christ and invite Him into our heart and our life, Christ has the ability to cleanse us. Christ told this woman at the well, He says, I can offer you this water that you'll never thirst for again. Christ is the water that can cleanse us of all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. He can save us from being a slave to sin. He can save us from being the condemned. He can make us the saved. Church, all you've got to do is repent of your sin. And if we want to be true worshipers of His, we've got to make the decision that we're going to repent. I believe the last thing that helps us in being true worshipers of His is that we relay the story. Verses 39 through 42, we know that that woman, while Christ was speaking to the disciples, she left her pot and she went back to the place that she dwelled and in her hometown, and she told them all about a man who told her everything that she'd ever done. We see that in verses 39 through 42, and many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony that He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His Word. Over time, I've been asked, what's more important, discipleship and worship or evangelism? Church, you can't separate the two. I believe that true worship will bring about salvation. Amen. True worship will bring about salvation. And I'm not just talking about worship that takes place in this building. I'm talking about worship that takes place as you go about your everyday life. Being a true worshiper in Him every single day of your life will impact this world, and people will see what it means to be a true believer, a true follower of Him. Worship in this place is so beautiful, but when we leave here, we ought to take that worship with us. And take that worship mindset into our service as we share with others about Christ. This woman went and said to her community, I've met a man who told me everything that I ever did. Let me tell you something. We ought to have that same heart set, that same mindset to tell others about how that Christ came into our heart and our life and He changed us, how He saved us from our sin. How that He took us from something unclean and cleansed us once again. How that He made us whole. How that He changed our life. How that He changed our heart. As our praise and our worship team comes, this is an opportunity for you as we move from the preaching and we come now to a time of response. This is an opportunity for you. If you want to be a true worshiper of His, here's where it begins. Tearing down the strongholds. All these preconceived notions and ideas about what worship is and what it means. All the people, places, and things that keep us from being that holy, acceptable, living sacrifice that Paul says that we should be. Tear down those strongholds. It begins right here this morning. You come. Maybe you're here and you've just never recognized Christ as Savior. You know all about God, but you've never known God. You can know Him today, and that begins with repenting of your sin. Maybe you're here and you've never given your heart and your life to Him. It begins with that confession, believing in Christ and who that He is and what He's done. But it also means that we confess our sin. If you're here and you need to confess unconfessed sin, you come. I'd be happy to pray with you. But this altar is open to you. Maybe you're here and you know Christ is your Lord and Savior. But through your relationship and through your life, there's things that you just need to come and confess and lay out before Him. You come. You come this morning, however God is working on your heart, however the Lord is leading you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, we come to a time of response. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who's never been saved, Lord, that they come and they give their heart and their life to You. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian person who's just in need of rededication, Lord, turning it all back over to You, Lord, I pray that they would come. Lord, I pray that You help us as a church to be true worshipers of You. All this we ask in Your name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
I was lost. I was in chains. The world had a hold of me. Was the stone, I was covered in shame when He came for me. I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me, Jesus. called my name. I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can He be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and He holds my heart. With healing hands that bear the scars. The running cross when He died for me. My only hope, my everything. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, can He be? He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for Jesus. He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be?